Our chair is in the center of the technical difficulties, unfortunately, so I'm going to be chairing again. I am calling the South End Landmark District Commission public hearing to order at 5:20 p.m. on July 30th, 2020. You can participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link in our agenda posted online at https://us02web.zoom.us/j/86755512013 or call 929-205-6099 and enter meeting ID 867-555-12013 # You can also submit written comments or questions to southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks. Today, the Commission will be holding a public hearing to review design review applications. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this meeting online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the South End Landmark District Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. And I believe that's in the participants list at the bottom. Is that right?
That's correct, John.
If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email again at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag SEJuly30Hearing. We will repeat the instructions during the public comment period. So what we're going to do tonight, I think almost everybody has seen this presentations before and seen heard all of the discussion before. We all know that we have different opinions and we've spent a lot of time on this project. So what we're going to do is first ask the applicant to make a presentation of the current status of their design. You don't have to spend a lot of time on the history. I think most of us have seen that before, unless you feel it's immediately relevant. We are going to take public comment first so everybody can get say what they need to say. And we ask that people be respectful both of everyone else, the other public commissioners, applicants, and of everybody's time. So if you want to start, somebody from the applicant to introduce yourselves, state your name, and then you can do your presentation.
Sure. Hi. This is David Goldman from New Boston Ventures and a resident of the South End on Chalmette Avenue. On behalf of myself and my business partner, Dennis Cannon, and our entire team, I just want to thank you for taking the time. We really appreciate it. And we appreciate the input and all the work that you all and the staff has done. This project has gone through the longest and most intensive community process of any development that I have ever been through. Or for that matter, longer than any member of our development team has ever experienced. It has been nearly 18 months since we began with the process. And prior to that, United South End Settlements held a lengthy community process when they issued the RFP for this site, and it was crafted by the input that they received from the community and from neighbors. New Boston Ventures responded with a proposal that met all of the guidelines, including significant community benefits. Prior to our submitting the proposal, to even purchase the property from United South End Settlements nearly 18 months ago, we conducted numerous meetings with neighborhood groups and individuals. Among those whom we met with were the Claremont Park Neighborhood Association, the Chester Square Neighborhood Association, the Ellis Neighborhood Association, the South End Business Alliance, United South End Artists, the South End Foreman Forum, and many other neighbors and leaders and elected officials. Mind you, that's prior to even submitting our response to the RFP. It is important to understand that this was done at that time. It is now 14 months since we began the process with the BPDA. And there were no less than three public meetings, resulting in a unanimous vote approving the project by the BPDA board last December, nearly 7 months ago. Since then, we have met with Landmarks Commission on January 7th, May 5th, May 18th, June 15th, June 25th, June 30th, and tonight, July 30th. And that does not include three additional meetings with the BPDA and the Landmarks staff. This has been a very long process. We have tried to make all the revisions possible based on comments from the commission and from neighborhoods, all of which we appreciate. In fact, just last night, we met with neighbors from West Springfield Street and have made additional changes based on the comments we heard from them last night. I want to address one issue that one of the commissioners raised at the most recent subcommittee. The issue was whether there are circumstances that justify a higher height where the adjacent building is lower. We have seen that there are precedents in the South End for this condition, including 75 Clarendon Street. But there are other relevant factors here that the commission will typically not take into account in its review, but that do constitute just that circumstance. The height we are proposing on West Springfield Street is tied directly to two other features of the proposed development. First, 4,800 square feet of first floor space that would otherwise be worth millions of dollars, and we are donating that for the community and for nonprofit use. Second, our agreement to set aside affordable units in excess of the city's requirements for hard-hit artists who are being forced out of the piano craft and other locations in the area. We are now bound by the BPDA approval and with the city to do both of these. There is no turning back. If we lose the pillar on which our ability to do them rests, namely the proposed height on West Springfield Street, the financial feasibility of the project itself may collapse. You might ask how that can be, that surely the financial foundation of this development must be on firmer ground than that. We're now operating at a time of deep economic uncertainty, where the price of condominium units may drop dramatically over the next several years. We are trying to move forward with this development despite that uncertainty, because of our commitment to United South End Settlements, which provides vitally important services to over 300 families in the South End and Lower Roxbury, with over 80% being people of color. We are on the knife's edge. That is what I submit. In addition to the South End precedents that already exist, the real world justification you are looking for. You may say financial issues are not your problem, but if the building that currently occupies this site stays in place, that will become everybody's problem. Thank you, and I just want to introduce Jonathan Garland, who will do the rest of the presentation.
Thank you, David, and good afternoon. I want to segue to Carolyn Parker, who is the widow of the late artist Kevin Jamil Parker, the original muralist of the building. And we, as Carolyn speaks, there will be more coming from her later in the presentation. Martine later in the presentation about the mural. And Carolyn, if you're there, feel free to introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Carolyn Parker. My family and I are honored to be speaking this evening with you. So in honoring and preserving the legacy of the mural at 566 Columbus Ave, the family of the late muralist Kevin Jamil Parker has been working with representatives from the United South End Settlements, renowned Black architect David Lee, who designed the USIS building, Andy Ryan, photographer, and members of the design team and development team, together forming the Mural Advisory Committee. The mural, called Honor Roll, was commissioned by USIS to celebrate the rich history of African Americans in South End. We believe that that rich history can and must continue. We have worked together to carefully preserve the images of the mural to be restored and digitally reinstalled as a publicly visible interactive exhibit on both Mass Ave and Columbus Avenue in the newly transformed nonprofit community space at 566 Columbus Ave. Jamil's career as an artist and educator emphasized the importance in honoring the rich and complex history of African Americans and their contributions to society. The Honor Roll mural tells a story of how the history unfolded and its depiction of the Hi-Hat Jazz Club, famous musicians that played there, and the history of the South End settlement houses, where social and educational needs were met, and the importance of celebrating the community. In Jamil's own words, our contributions to this country are artistic, literary, fashion, thought, spiritual, and so much more. Jamil was always looking at ways to try to help the world by mentoring young students to attend college. He participated in cross-cultural trips to Haiti and DR and many other places. And he worked to rebuild schools using his art to build stronger communities. His time was cut short when he was diagnosed with ALS, but we carry on his work through a scholarship in his name and to help other students attend art schools and pursue their dreams. Supporting the next generation of aspiring artists is something that we love to do in our family. We look forward to sharing his message of hope with all of you in this new medium and in honoring his legacy as an artist, educator, and community member. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carolyn. And just by way of history, we've been working closely with Carolyn and members of her family who have deep interests and a skill set in the arts media. And so we're looking to bring that experience and interest to this project. And like I said, we have more that we'll talk about later in the presentation there. So thank you again, Carolyn, for that. So we have a two-part agenda where we're going to go through in more of recap fashion the design.
Jonathan, I'm sorry to interrupt, but could you just confirm for me for the record that this is the same presentation you sent to me earlier, aside from that last slide?
We have additional mural images later in the presentation.
Okay.
And it's an appendix, which I don't plan to get into, but it's available for Q&A if needed.
Okay. And commissioners, there are two applications on the agenda tonight. I think they're both covered in this presentation. So I just wanted to add that as well. Okay, Jonathan, sorry.
Second that the agenda is the streetscape public realm improvements around the building and then the building itself. So here's a neighborhood site context plan. I won't dwell on it here because we'll get into it later in the presentation. But just looking at the edits and design revisions that have come through various meetings with this Landmarks Commission, both in a full setting as well as in subcommittee, we have tried our best to respond to each of the comments thoughtfully through a number of various design iterations, and we're thankful and grateful for the comments and the direction from the commission. If you remember back, here's where we landed back in May 18th, when we presented. We had the Columbus Mass Ave corner where you can see the brick coming underneath at the second floor and the metal stopping. We then moved to bringing the metal all the way down to engage the canopy at the ground floor, and also made modifications at the penthouse level with undulating the heights at that sixth floor where the metal is. And that sort of is shown here like a side-by-side before and after, so you can really see articulation and the development of this prominent corner. And I think we got to a really nice spot here with the commission. This is just a straight on elevation form. You'll see before the before image and the after image. More on the Columbus Ave side involved. There was a comment early on about the Art Deco look to the way the windows were captured with the brick corbelling going on the jamb side as well as on the head side. And so we altered that detail to look to show what we're showing on the right side, which is much more of a south end type of window treatment where we have a slight change in the brick color going to like an iron spot brick, and then using, still having the corbelling, but keeping it really in line with the opening of the window. There was another comment from the commission about a consistent height along the top story versus some idea of dimensional modulation to pick up the bays that are happening down below. So you can see the top image is where we started, where everything was fairly level, and the after image is where we started to peak up some of those roof elements to create that modulation and further emphasize the bay component. There was another comment about reduction in detailing, corbelling as the building graduates. I know that's a loaded term, but basically what that focused on was trying to clearly articulate a more grand expression at the base of the building with how the windows are treated and the detailing around them, and that level of detailing reducing.
It started late and I'm having a hard time hearing it.
Yeah.
Hello? Can everyone hear me?
And I think people are having a little trouble. Your something with your microphone is causing a little bit of static as you speak. Is there a way you can improve your microphone? Your
is it still having that problem?
No, that seems better.
That's much better.
Apologize for that. Feel free to speak out if it happens again. So the reduction in detailing and corbelling, as I just mentioned, was another improvement that we made. And that sort of, you know, concludes where we landed with the Columbus Ave. On Mass Avenue, here's a before image. And one of the things that you'll mention in a lot of, one of the things that you'll see in a lot of these shots is that we have removed the penthouses, or the head houses, I should say, at the top level. So I'll sort of toggle back and forth. If you look up at that top corner, you'll see that there was a stair head house. We've now modified the floor plans such that we wouldn't require those head houses. So we've taken those off, and you'll see that change in pretty much every image. A comment that came through was refining the brick window detailing at the Mass Ave facade. This is where the building transitions from the fourth story to the sixth story. We previously had a different detail between the base of windows and tops of other windows, and we just made that more in line with the windows that were adjacent. So it was a rather small, but I think very meaningful detail that we improved upon. Here's the before shot where you can see the head house and roof equipment, and then here's the after shot where that is removed. And that would conclude the Mass Ave side. Columbus and West Springfield, here's the before image. And a few things to point out here. We previously had the two-story dormer mansard condition going down West Springfield. We also had the corner treatment right at the corner, which I'll show you some further details. But now we've gone to the one-story mansard there and really trying to articulate and pull out that corner more than we had before. The difference with these two shots is just showing the presence of keeping the existing trees on West Springfield. And then we've removed them here only so that you can see the architecture. But this position of us keeping the trees.
Your feedback is coming in again, Jonathan.
Oh, is it still happening? Sorry about that. I don't know if there's much more I can do on it. Is it really bad still?
It seems like when you sit forward like you are now, it stops. I think it's maybe as you lean back or something.
Huh.
You don't have a microphone that you can plug in or a headset, do you?
I'd have to call in because right now I'm just on the
Just stay forward.
Just for the record, I can hear it easily. Okay. It's very clear.
Okay, I'll try to lean forward.
We want everybody to be able to hear. Thank you.
Okay. So just to dive into more detail on that, the left is the before image, the right is the after image. You can see very clearly the corner articulation going from a band of one window up the center to then the three that we're now showing a lot more visibility, and I think it improves the glass to brick ratio on that corner. We also, just staying on that corner, eliminated the metal coming down to the fifth story and wrapped the brick around at the fifth story, which we think creates a cleaner termination between the brick and the metal only happening at the top floor. And then in this case, you can see left to right, the double mansard roof condition with dormers versus the one story. West Springfield Street. Here, I'll dive into West Springfield now. So this was our before condition where we had that double mansard roof coming all the way down to the 220 side. The front of the building was a flat, more in line with like a row house in terms of the articulation being flat. There was an oriel window there. And the datum line was not exactly registering or was not registering with the datum of the adjacent row houses. And I would also say the biggest move here is just the massing reduction in square foot and cubic foot reduction, both by undulating, and I'm toggling back and forth so you can see, but just by introducing the bow fronts, which you can see in the base of the building at level 1, 2, and 3, having those bow fronts really creates this sense of a wider setback, and it physically is a wider setback as those bows set in. And then at level 4, 5, and 6, the building gradually steps back at each of those floors. And we have dimensions of that in further slides. But again, I'll just toggle back and forth and you can very clearly see the overall massing reduction in sense of height in this area. And we look at that as a significant improvement in terms of the mitigation here. This is a quick diagram to show just an overlay of where we were previously and where we are today. Here's a zoom in of it. So basically everything above the proposed roof line is back to blue sky. And so we feel like that kind of a change is definitely helpful in sort of the massing. And then here's a left to right before and after of that. In terms of establishing the townhouse modularity, you can very clearly see that was our first step in this process after having a number of meetings and very good dialogue with the commission during subcommittee. We're pleased to be able to land at this point because we think it is a very good point of being able to clearly establish and articulate the three-story townhouse datum on our building, which aligns with the townhouse cornice line of adjacent buildings down West Springfield. And that being the element that is first and foremost, as you're walking down the street, that's where your eye will go, is to that datum line connection. And we also think it clearly establishes a clean termination between the row house buildings and the corner building. And then the top, as you can see, steps back, as I mentioned, at each floor, and we've tried to very carefully align the datum lines at each floor so you can see the horizontality of those major datum lines reading across. And then those are the step backs. So there would be a 3-foot step back at level 4, a 3-foot step back at level 5, and again at level 6. And then just in floor plan version, I'll zoom into this area a bit more. This is the part of the building where we sort of call the transitional zone. And so what the bay fronts do, what you can see there is the dashed line in the red that's labeled A corresponds to the top right image, which was our previous architectural approach. B with the bold black line is where we currently are, just as a frame of reference. So that darker green that you see is essentially an extension of the pocket garden, because as the bow fronts set in, it creates that additional green space. And we think that green space, our goal and intention working closely with the landscape architects, is that it feels like a lush, well-planted, well-groomed, typical row house garden front, which you can see in the image just beyond the foreground stoop, but the one with the brighter pink plants. You know, it would have a decorative rail along the sides, similar to match the scale and ornamentation of ones that are down West Springfield. But in terms of the planting, we want to send a clear message that this is not an open space that has any sort of social function or physical function. It's not a place for people to hang out. We feel like the plants and the density of the plants will certainly prohibit that. And so the dimension has increased of this garden from 6'6" to now 9'2" in the deepest point. Another element that we think has improved overall, which we hadn't talked about previously with the subcommittee, but just through exploration, we want to acknowledge the bay fronts that are directly across the street on West Springfield. We think there's a nice nod to, as you're coming down the street, this feeling of relief where the building sort of sets in almost at the same point on both sides of the street. Similarly, south of us, you have the bow fronts, which obviously we have nothing to do with, but just wanted to point out that correlation. And so there's a sense of understanding of at least a reading of similar profiles on either side of the street. And then in terms of the dimensional setbacks, the top left image shows in the red the square footage loss. So that red, every time you see the red, that represents the amount of square footage lost at each floor. So the first floor until the third floor, you can see we're setting in 1 foot in sort of the outward plane of where the bay fronts are, but it's even more than that as you set in for the bay itself. But just from where the red line is at its outermost point to the black line, that represents 1 foot, and then it gets even deeper as that bay front insets. At level 4, it insets even further, another 3 feet. At level 5, it insets even further, another 3 feet. At level 6, again, another 3 feet. So it's a total of 10 feet of setback throughout that entire mass. And here's an image walking. You're sort of on the sidewalk, but you're kind of more almost in line with this parking aisle. And just if you bring your eye to the top left, I think the establishment of matching the datum line of the row houses is very important here, and it's very visible here, partly because you will have a dense tree canopy as currently exists down West Springfield. Additionally, our commitment to doing everything we can to preserve the existing trees, we think is also going to be a complement to when the building comes online. But just seeing how that three-story row house datum picks up with the adjacent buildings, and then above that, we have mitigated the height back to a point where we feel it would not be objectionable. And here you can see that from standing across the street. And this image actually shows we just removed the tree for clarity, but in actuality, that's what that existing tree is doing. I'll just sort of toggle back and forth. sometimes it's tough to show these images with all the density of the trees because they are there. And then in terms of going back to the corner of Mass and Columbus, we did want to just talk about the updates we made to the exterior ceiling soffit condition. Here's where we were before, back in the May 18th meeting. And here's where we have landed with what we think is a nice sort of nod to a vaulted ceiling. Some of the precedents that we had shared before, examples from Paris, examples from others that we could find in the South End that just really helped to sculpt that ceiling space and create a light, airy feeling with that vaulted effect. And it was in response to a comment from the commissioners about really trying to pay attention to the detail and the definition at the ground floor entrance canopy and thinking about those hand details and just things that as you're a person, and this is at a human scale, you're really up close. So what is that experiential feeling like? And again, moving away from a flat ceiling to a vaulted ceiling, this was some of our earlier thoughts about that, where we use this precedent in Paris as an example. And this idea of creating rooms, which you can see, how we tried to break up the archways and create a standard rhythm across the facade. So there's the evening shot of it. And then just to tie in again with the mural, the digital restoration of the mural. Tonight we are joined by David Lee, the original architect of the building that stands on the site today, as well as Andy Ryan, who is a professional photographer and is has a certain expertise in large scale digital reproduction such as this and restoration work. David, Andy, are you both on?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. David, are you there?
I'm in the process of unmuting. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
So this is, you know, I just wanted to start with Andy really quick. And Andy, as I'm flipping through, say, three or four slides, if you can just kind of describe your process to date and sort of doing some cleanup on the mural and just a little bit about the technical approach, not too much in the weeds, but a little bit about the technical approach on what it will take to get this thing reproduced.
Right, I think the most important thing is to try and create a representation of the mural that is true to the real life experience one would have if they were walking past it. And that entailed a couple of different things for me as a photographer. One was just to be able to see if I could piece this back together again and recreate the mural in the same dimensions, the same ratios as possible to the original one. And then, you know, B, could we get it nice and clean because it's had years and years of city grime and soot and such that have muted the colors. And then thirdly, you know, once a bit of a surprise, once that cleaning process was done, I didn't realize how reflective the varnish was that Jamil had used. It's almost mirror-like. And because of the embedded stones in the plaster, creating a really intense spectral highlights, it created a bit of a problem. So we had the benefit of cleaning the mural to get the colors correct. And the downside being that now you have to deal with the reflection. So not to go into too much detail, but I've got it to the point.
Tell me about the mural.
I'm sorry?
How do you get on?
Keep going.
No, anyway, so yeah, essentially now I've got to the point where we've got really beautiful, clean colors that are going to be, I mean, there's still going to be stains on the mural and I'm working to clean them up. And as you can see in these images here, there's damage to the mural that's occurred over the years that I will also try to emulate the process of a conservator, but digitally.
I have no idea. Oh, well, you want to
be able to create a one-to-one representation of the mural that is as true to the original as possible. And that will be not only something that we can print out in different manner, different ways and different manners, but also could possibly be used electronically moving forward. So the image I'm working with right now is about 40 feet long. It's an extremely large image file. It's in 16-bit, and it's very accurate to what you would see there today if you were to walk by the building. So
thank you.
Basically, my bit in this whole project.
David, would you like to jump in?
I'd just like to make a few comments. First, I'd like to acknowledge my business partner, Don Stull, who really was the key designer of this. It was very important to our firm in that it was our first new construction building in Boston. And while I drew a few lines on it, I was just a young pup designer at the time, and Don really deserves the credit for what has been a remarkable building in the community. But times change, conditions change, and you know, it's painful in some respects to lose something that you've put a lot into, and it's an original design. But it's really the mission that's the important thing here, and the fact that the site has to be redeveloped in order for the organization to be financially viable is a reality. To that end, though, I think over time, irrespective of the mural itself, over time, as I've watched these images that Jonathan has just presented, thanks to the input of everyone, I guess, the community as well as the Landmarks Commission, it's really gotten to be a very nice building, and the improvements in some cases are subtle, but actually very important. And so I think it will be a nice addition to that corner of the city. In terms of the mural itself, I think the key is the spirit of the mural. And they have, the designers in this case, have actually made it an organic part of the design rather than something just plastered onto it. And they've dealt with it spatially as well as visually. There's an ancient Chinese saying that says, "Seek not to follow in the footsteps of the men of old, seek instead what they sought." And I think that's the spirit of this. They really have held on to the spirit of the mural and the energy that went into it. And they've carefully made it a part of the new expression. And I think it's well done.
Thank you, David. And I will just mention to the commission, we know this is, it's an interior application, so it may you may not consider this immediately part of your purview, but through these hearings, we have heard sentiment from the neighborhood, as we should, about the mural. And so we wanted to take this public setting to announce our, the effort from our longstanding commitment to the mural. That was one of the things we committed to almost on day one of the project, that we would first form an advisory committee, which we've done, and that we would work closely with the late artist's wife, which we've done, and others such as David Lee and Andy. And so we're proud to be able to present this.
Thank you.
And so just quickly, the yellow is where you can see the proposed placement of the mural inside the building. So it would be part of the nonprofit space, part of the 4,800 square foot donation of space at the ground floor. And then you can see the pink representing the sight lines from if you're in the neighborhood looking in. So it will have a wide angle of visibility, both from Mass and Columbus. The other point is that, and this is just, again, just a detail, but we don't see this as a one-sided mural. Although you can see it from the outside, we imagine the other side of the wall can be very interactive. One of the meetings we had with the commission, there was a member of the public who said they were a school teacher and that they wanted to bring their students in to experience the mural. That backside allows us a great opportunity for an interactive approach where there can be a deeper history about the mural or about the South End or other things. So that's something we'll be working on as part of this as well. And how it's experienced on the streetscape, obviously we have the residential entrance on the left, the honor roll mural centered in the middle, and the Express Cafe on the edge there. This is going to be a shot from the corner of Mass and Columbus. If you look closely, you can see the piece of the mural on the left through the glass on Columbus and on the right through the glass on Mass Ave. That's more of a shot at daytime. This is if you're standing across the street on Mass Ave, so you can see directly through those punched windows at the ground floor. As Andy mentioned, we're working hard to get this to a one-to-one scale. So it's still going to have that level of gravitas and visibility, even from across the street. And again, Express Cafe on the left and the nonprofit commercial and honor roll right in the center. And the last shot here at daytime. So moving ahead into public realm streetscape, I believe this is, we're getting to the end here. So this is our proposed plan for the public realm. You can see that we are proposing new street trees along the perimeter. In terms of paving and materiality, brick sidewalks on all three sides, Mass, Columbus, and West Springfield. And we thought it made sense to just show the context of this paving and how it relates to the adjacent edges. Obviously on the left, you have the gas station. So with the wide curb cuts coming in and out, it probably made sense for them to go with the large expanses of concrete there. And then on the right, you do have a sliver of concrete coming along. But as you'll see in our details, we're trying to very clearly articulate the pedestrian zone separate from the furnishing zone in a way that it's not as immediately separate and more tied in together, more unified. And I think it picks up actually more on like what's across the street from us on Columbus. The beige band that you see across the street, that's actually their frontage zone. So that's not a pedestrian zone across the street. That's where SRV has outdoor seating with a rail. And that's where Dunkin' Donuts has like a wider expanse of space. But I just don't want anyone to be confused. That's not their pedestrian space. That's actually their frontage zone. So I think our design of keeping the brick in the pedestrian zone is more akin to what you see directly across the street from us. And here's just more, I think, more detail on that. I'll show you right here. So we've kind of used these color codes to make it easy to read, but the curb is obviously the 6-inch curb line around the outermost perimeter. That blue represents the furnishing zone, which we're articulating in brick. The pedestrian zone is also in brick. And then we have the frontage zone, which would be like granite pavers in that beige color. Obviously, these aren't the proposed colors. This is just a legend. And we also have our landscape architect on the call if any questions come up from IBI consulting group. In terms of the greenscaping, we're showing the placement of new street trees on Columbus and Mass Ave. And the yellow dots represent the existing light fixtures that we intend to keep. They're in fairly good shape. We do plan to do some relamping, but in terms of locations, we think we have a very good strategy about tree placement relative to the light poles, and that's what you can sort of see in the dimensions. We worked this out very closely with the complete street guidelines so that we have 30 feet on
a little bit of tree,
and that means 15 feet what? Between the tree and the light post. The West Springfield side, as I mentioned before, we had strong sentiment from the West Springfield abutters to do everything we can to retain the existing trees on West Springfield. So for that matter, that's what we're showing today. And it's a change of where we were before. But again, we think it's important. So we're showing keeping those existing trees on West Springfield. And I also mentioned the brown that you see is not a tree pit. The brown is actually underneath the earth, and that represents the limit of continuous sand-based structural soil. So it's basically called a treeway, and as the construction happens, they're gonna be adding a lot more soil under the ground in the zone of the brown that we're showing, which is really going to extend the life and longevity of these trees and give them the best chance to grow really, really good over the long term. As well, we're doing irrigation for these new trees. I will say, as far as the existing trees on West Springfield, part of that effort is gonna require an intense operation with tree protection, root zone protection, but it's, again, something that we're trying our best to do in responding to the neighbors. The Columbus Ave trees, there was a request from the commission about what species. And again, we have our landscape architects on the call, but we are proposing pin oak trees, which do give a range of 50 to 70 feet of height. That's obviously not the planted height. Nick Healy's on if there's a question about that, but the spread would get between 40 to 60 feet. And I'm sure that there would be some maintenance relative to where the building is and where the trees are over the long term to manage that scale. Mass Ave trees, we're proposing Princeton elms. And both of these tree species are recommended trees within the complete street plant list. The site furnishings and the public bikes, you can see located in the blue. So we're relocating the blue bike station, as you can see in the top right on Columbus Ave there. And then next to that, we're locating new post and ring bike racks. We have pictures of those in the top right of this image, so you can see examples. That's apparently the City of Boston standard that they like to see. So we're providing those post and ring bike racks on Columbus and on Mass Ave, just in between those two trees there. And then there are a number of other utility banks that do exist above grade. We've asked certain questions of our engineers about potentially getting those below grade, and I'll suffice to say that it's extremely cost prohibitive and impacts a number of other utilities out in the public way. And so those look like they're gonna be staying there. That includes the electric control utility box at the corner of Mass and Columbus, the traffic control utility box as well. And then again, as I mentioned, all the street light poles would be existing to remain with some relamping. We also plan to keep the trash recycle containers that are right at the edge of Mass Ave there. And then down in the bottom left, you'll see that shaded blue represents additional pedestrian sidewalk area that did not previously exist. Right now, there's a super wide vehicular curb cut into the parking lot for this building off of Mass Ave. So with this new design, we're happy to neck that, bring that curb cut down substantially and give that sidewalk back to the public realm. And that's the shaded area represented in the blue. And this is just more zoom-ins of the sidewalk areas so that you can see the correlation between furnishing zone, pedestrian zone, and frontage zone, and how we comply with the complete street guidelines for minimum clearances. So we have on the Mass Ave side here, you can see that we're 8'7", and we're identifying this as a downtown mixed use street, and the minimum there would be 8 feet. So we certainly comply with that, as well as the furnishing zone and the frontage zone dimensions. And if there are questions, we can answer those. On Columbus, we well exceed the minimum and the preferred, and we're at 11'5" for the pedestrian walking area. This is sort of right in the center of Columbus Ave, right by the residential entrance. And this is right at the corner of Columbus and West Springfield. And right at that point at the, I hope you can see the dimension, if you can see my mouse, but right where it says P3, right to the left of that, we have 6'6" at the furnishing zone, and then just south of that, it's 8'8". That's our tightest point, and so we still comply with the pedestrian minimum, which again is 8 feet. And then at the Mass Ave, down at the Mass Ave side, you can see that's still the continuation of the sidewalk clearance above. It's just zoomed in to see the curb cut. And then West Springfield, the sidewalk clearance, we're identifying West Springfield as a neighborhood residential street. And so that clearance minimum is 5 feet. They say 4 feet is the bare minimum, but they'd like to be at 5, and we're at 5'3". And the furnishing zone where the street, the tree pits are, is 3 feet. So we will be reworking the tree pits around the existing trees. And so in conclusion, this is just for our records and for your understanding. We are truly thankful for the efforts and the guidelines and the direction from this commission over a series of subcommittee meetings and full committee meetings, as well as commentary from the neighborhood and the abutters. And so this is a list that I'd like to go through quickly, where we were asked to look at the articulation of the metal in the windows and articulation at the prominent corner, and we've done that. We were asked to look at the brick detailing and change from the Art Deco look to more of a South End architecture building, and we feel we've done that. The roof line going from a consistent height to more dimensional modulation and the look and feel of bays, and we've done that. Reduction in detailing, corbelling as the building graduates, we've done that. Refinements to brick window detailing, Mass Ave facade, we've done that. Columbus and West Springfield corner articulation, we've done that. The Columbus and West Springfield brick to mansard datum, we've made that change and we've done that. The West Springfield street mitigation includes a series of items, most notably the massing and cubic footage reduction, the row house datum alignment, brick detailing, the addition of the garden setback, retaining the existing street trees, modifying the roof dormers, the mansard, bay fronts, looking at the party wall intently. We've done all of that. Detail and definition at the ground floor entrance canopy soffit. We've done that. Daylight studies at ground floor entry canopy. We've done that. Proposed street tree species. We've done that. The scope related to the existing mural, we've done that. Elimination of rooftop headhouses, we've done that. And finally, public realm streetscape review, we've done that. And I won't read this list, but these were additional comments even before the May 18th meeting when we first came before you in January 7th with a completely different building design. And so we've gone through refinements, a number of refinements from even back at that time. So thank you for your time. Thank you for listening, and we'd be open for questions.
At this point, we'll ask first for commissioner questions. Do any of the commissioners have questions? And I would suggest that it be, if you have questions, directed to the new material. No questions from the commission?
I don't think that there's a lot of new material, but...
I'm sorry, go ahead, David.
Yeah, elimination of head houses you just mentioned. There are still some head houses, correct?
So when we say head houses, we're talking about stairs from the private units going up to the roof. That won't be happening, as well as common stairs. We are required by code that our elevator goes up. And I will mention that our elevator is located in the dead center back of the building, which really fronts on the private alley, public or private, whatever it is, alleyway, which cannot be seen from any of the streets. And even furthermore, we had worked hard originally to make sure that those head houses were not seen, even if they were built. So we see this as a... an enhanced belt and suspenders approach of removing them entirely, with the exception of the elevator, which is a code requirement.
I just want to add to what you said, Jonathan, and that is that we've removed all of the headhouses for all of the stairs to the roof. And we've also decided to have one of the elevators stop at the fifth floor. So instead of two elevators going to the roof, it's reduced down to one elevator, which is much smaller. And to Jonathan's point, when he says code, the code he's talking about is the Architectural Access Board code. This is required for handicapped reasons.
Right.
So,
okay. Sorry. Go ahead, David.
Yep. Go ahead. Sorry. So the overall height of the building itself hasn't changed, and the overall height of the maximum height of any element hasn't changed. Is that right?
Well, no, actually, the height on West Springfield Street, where it abuts 220, if you go back to the original design, has been set back dramatically and reduced at the front of the building quite a bit.
Yes, that is correct. That's correct. And in addition, David, the overall height of the building has not grown, no.
And you were talking about the trees. Do you have a count of the number of trees you're adding to this project?
18.
No, it was 12, and then we're taking off 4. So we're adding 8. We're adding 8.
In addition to the number of trees that are there, or how many are currently on the site?
Well, in the public realm, there are 3 trees currently on the site. Every other tree is in the private property line.
But when we're talking about the trees, I think it's really important just to emphasize that the original concept and at the recommendation of our landscape architects as well as arborists, we were going to replace the trees in West Springfield Street with new trees. But after listening to the community input and how strongly a number of people felt, we have decided to save those trees if at all possible.
You have a number on the amount of sidewalk that is being square foot of sidewalk that's being affected or addition added or removed from what is existing?
So the sidewalk, there will be comprehensive improvements to the sidewalk all the way, I can safely say, from Mass Ave ringing all the way around to the end of the site on West Springfield. Every part of the streetscape will be affected, not only because of what's required to get the building built and access to even space just for the below grade parking, but also just trying to meet the new standards of the complete street guidelines in getting in things like the soil, the large soil area that I explained underneath the earth, all of it will be impacted. I don't have a square foot number, but none of it will be as it is right now.
Will the sidewalk be narrower on West Springfield Street than it is currently?
No, it will be wider. Currently, we have a 4-foot wide tree pit, which means you have a 4'3" sidewalk clearance because we have 8'3" total. So now we're necking down that tree pit to 3 feet and making the sidewalk clearance space 5'3". So it will be wider by a foot.
Anything else?
Yeah, I don't have no other questions for me.
Okay, Catherine or Diana? All right, in that case, we'll start with our public comment period. Nick will call on anybody who's raised their hand. I'm gonna read a little statement first. Nick, are you there?
I'm here.
Great, thank you, Nick. All right, members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand, in quotes, or type your question. No, we're not going to take questions in the chat, so you have to raise your hand. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov. or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks with the hashtag SEJuly30Hearing. Each person will have 1 minute to make a comment or ask a question. And that really is decided out of respect to everybody who's here and wants to participate. So Nick, it's up to you.
Thank you, John. And just to note, that is in accordance with the South End Landmark District guidelines, our bylaws, and that's section 6.4, where it designates the chair of the commission to designate a specific amount of time for each public comment. So the first comment I have is from Mike. Mike, go ahead. You have 1 minute and I will start the timer. Just wait 1 second here. I'll start the timer now. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Michael Kelly, and I want to start out by saying thank you to the chair, to the acting chair and the commissioners for the opportunity to be heard on this important development happening in our city and our community. I want to voice my strong support, not only for the overall development, but also for the design elements. I think this is a beautiful building. And I commend all of you, including the development team, New Boston Ventures, who I've been to several of the meetings in the community, and I know have a long history, not only in this project, but in this city, of working with the community to make sure that the best interests of the community are represented in a project that can work. And I'm thrilled to hear that they're also increasing the number of affordable units and have taken the effort with the Mr. Garland to make sure we have increased air and light and trees around this development. So thank you all for the work that you've done to come out with a beautiful project that I think will be an attribute to the community, as well as the preservation of
Mike, your time is up. Thank you.
Thank you, the mural. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. The next is David Manzo. David, you were the next one to raise your hand. If you wanna go ahead, you have 1 minute starting now.
Hi, Dave Manzo, 23 Warren Ave in the South End, 40-year resident. Love the design, love the concepts around affordability and the commitment.
David?
Yep.
Oh, sorry, we lost you for a second there.
Did you hear my comment at all?
A little bit. Go ahead and restart.
Okay. 40-plus year resident of the South End, love the design, appreciate the commitment to affordability, and also the commitment to nonprofit organizations with the space. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Next up, we have Julia Johnson. Julia, you have, let's just get you restarted here. You have 1 minute starting now.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Julia Johansson, and I am the chair of the board of directors at United South End Settlements. And I just want to speak in strong support of this project as well. And I want to mention in particular the importance of the entirety of the project being considered as a package without the ability to take apart any one element, because our RFP initially stipulated an entire project that was going to take into consideration community needs and increasing affordable housing in the city and in the South End in particular. And this project does that. And you cannot take any one element of this project and address it without also addressing the rest of the project. And so I'm just really thrilled that we were able to partner with New Boston Ventures and Jonathan Garland to get to this point, because the project as presented is beautiful and they've been extremely responsive. And the board of directors is thrilled with how we've gone so far. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Julia, and sorry for mispronouncing your last name.
Okay.
The next one we have is Connie. Connie, I'm just gonna reset the timer here.
Hi,
Connie, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Connie Forbes. I'm a Roxbury resident, 5 generations. Just had some questions in policy and procedure. I know this process is going forward regardless of what we may think, but just defining it for the Roxbury residents, this building was determined to have no cultural significance, I take it, and that the demolition, which is required, and this is your wording, is because of the ruin and neglect of necessary maintenance and repairs was in place. So just questioning whether or not that that you have addressed that. And I'm sorry to make Mr. Goldman wait 18 months to make $40 million, but as a Roxbury resident, that this community center is supposed to serve the lower Roxbury residents. It's very troubling that there is no cultural significance that I see as being a part of the Roxbury, Dorchester, Mattapan community, the Black community, and that CELDAC is moving forward and promoting this private entity to make money off of the Black and Black community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next person we have is for David Lank. David, go ahead. You have 1 minute.
Hi, David Blank, South End resident, four generations. My great-grandfather had a market where the former Stella is, and I think the South End's in my blood. I think this building is one of the most handsome buildings that I've seen new developments. I have to applaud New Boston Ventures and the architects and everybody that's been involved in the process. The program of the building between the art, the public engagement, the nonprofit space, and the affordability is excellent. And something I specifically want to mention is the scale of the building, the setbacks, the height, I think are incredibly appropriate and well designed and well balanced. I know it took a while for them to get here, but I want to applaud the architects and the for setting, graduating and setting back the height. And I think that the scale is actually very appropriate for this particular corner and block. Thank you.
Thank you, David. The next one we have is, pleasant surprise. We have Representative Byron Rushing. Byron, go ahead. You have 1 minute.
Thank you. It's good to be before you. My name is Byron Rushing, and I'm the former state representative for a long time of the South End. And I'm here to speak in favor of this project, of this design, and to especially note the great work, I think, that Jonathan Garland and the other people, the architect and the other people involved in this project have done in responding to a number, a long list of changes, which I think are all very appropriate. And so I want to just go on record as completely in favor of this and urge you to make a decision real fast.
Thank you very much, sir. We appreciate your comments. The next person we have is Julie. Julie, go ahead. You have 1 minute.
Hi, this is Julie Lanzek. I live at 217 West Springfield. I just have a question for Jonathan. You mentioned in the design all the square footage that you've taken away from the original design until now. What is the total number of that?
Just Jonathan, you should include the additional space we're giving back to the community that happened in the community BPDA process.
So that would be close to 6,000. Feet.
Okay, so that sounds like at least several units. So it seems another proposal to me would be that square footage could come out of the units on the fifth and sixth floor on West Springfield Street. Nobody here was saying the building should be smaller. And my other question or observation was I think at this meeting, the last meeting before the one that was canceled, David Shepard, I thought, had expressed some concern with moving forward for the full commission meeting. And so I just think it's important that all the commissioners have an equal voice and an equal vote here.
Thank you, Julie.
Can I just point out that if we were to take that square footage and remove it from West Springfield Street, we would no longer be able to comply and donate the 4,800 square feet back to the community, and it would be in violation of our BPDA approval as we've been approved by the City of Boston.
So is any of the community space or affordable housing on the fifth and sixth floor on that side of the building?
Not on that side.
Okay.
The next person we have is Marcy. Marcy, go ahead, you have 1 minute.
Actually, I take that back, I was incorrect. I believe there is some affordable housing in that side of the room.
Marcy, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. My name is Marcy Bilodeau. I'm a resident on the South End, and I also work at the United South End Settlements. I have to say I've been quite impressed with the evolution of this project, especially the preservation of the mural and the dedication of the team to the community space. This project has my full support.
Thank you, Marcy. The next person we have is Christopher Lowell. Christopher, go ahead. You have 1 minute. Christopher? Okay, we're going to move on. Christopher, I'll try to come back to you after. The next person we have is Joanne Rothschild. Joanne, you have 1 minute.
I just want to say in support of this project, I live on West Springfield Street, and I have volunteered at USIS, and it's a really important organization for the city, for the community, and I want to see this go ahead, and both the project and the organization thrive.
Thank you, Joanne. The next, Christopher Lowell, are you there? Okay, we tried. The next person we have is Mark Douglas. Mark, go ahead, you have 1 minute.
Hi, good evening. Thank you all so much again for the presentations. We're direct abutters just right across the street, 225 West Springfield Street. We've attended multiple meetings, have supported multiple, several letters of support emailed. We would urge the committee to approve this as soon as possible. It's very difficult to keep up with the meetings. I think we've missed several meetings, so it's been very challenging. Thank you for all the design updates. This is a much needed project for our neighborhood, being right across the street. We have no problem with the height and scale of the building and the additions that you've made. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Last chance, Christopher, are you there? Okay, well, he's gone. Next we have Jeffrey with 1F. Jeffrey, go ahead, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. Hi there, this is Jeffrey DeBard. I'm the managing partner of New Urban Collaborative, a developer in the city and the neighborhood in Lower Roxbury. Firstly, you know, I think it's important that this was a long process. I think that it should be, these should be long processes with projects that are going to directly and largely impact communities. So I'm happy about that. I'm happy to see the increase in affordability in the mix. And I particularly want to just commend Jonathan Garland and the design team for really doing an outstanding job carefully and consideration for a lot of aspects of how you build new construction in communities. And given all of that, I do support the project, and I know that David and his team will do a responsible and efficient job in building it. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jeff. The next person we have is John. John, go ahead. You have 1 minute.
Is it John Monnier?
John Monnier, yes. Sorry, John.
Hey, Nick. Thank you.
Hi.
I just wanted to also basically echo the comments that have been already made. I thought the presentation, Jonathan, was fantastic. The building and the project was good and got great. Those before and afters were extremely helpful. You know, the team, David's team, you know, it doesn't surprise me that they've been so responsive. I mean, they're an important part of this community, and they've done other great projects in the South End. And, you know, I'm very comfortable with them, you know, taking this important site and doing the right thing. And as a neighbor of USCS on Rutland Street, we really look forward to the exciting things coming down in the future for that location as well. So thank you. And I know it's a design review process, but I am mindful of what David said about the economy and the uncertainty. And I think that is an important factor to get things moving, and to keep them moving these days is important and should be taken into consideration.
Thanks, John. The next one we have is another John, on John Ruggieri. Sorry if I said your last name wrong. Go ahead, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, John Ruggieri here. Longtime South End resident, have seen a lot of incredible development in and around the South End, and this building certainly is going to be yet another fantastic venture by New Boston Ventures and the design team. As chairman of the board of the BCA, also our organization, another nonprofit, very much in time of need at the present time, looking to ensure the vibrance of the South End the continued development of the South End for the enjoyment of all the citizens and all of the community. So I strongly urge approval in moving forward with this. Look forward to seeing that corner being revitalized, and that mural just looks spectacular. I'm looking forward to see how that comes out at the end of the day. Thank you very much, and I appreciate everyone's time.
Thank you very much. Next we have is Charles. Charles, go ahead. You have 1 minute.
Yes, hi. My name is Charles Dennison. I live on Concord Square, and I've been following this project for quite a few months along with the Landmarks Commission. I just want to thank the project team. You know, I've had some various comments, as have others, and I think the way they've responded has been really excellent. The building has really, I think it fits in really nicely, and it's modern, but, you know, fits with the South End vernacular. You know, I don't always like modern buildings in the South End. Some have been okay and some have been not so great, but I think this is an example that's going to really fit in well and set a good example for future buildings. And lastly, I'll just say I'm really impressed with how the mural is being preserved in a modern way so that it's accessible and people can see it. So just thank you again. I really appreciate everything you guys have done.
Thanks, Charles. Next we have Chris Dierbeck. Chris, go ahead. You have 1 minute.
Thank you. Chris Dierbeck, 220 West Springfield, the direct abutter next door to the project. I've had a lot of great conversations with David and his team. Jonathan Garland has also called me on his drive home. We've had some wonderful conversations, and I just commend the team for their work on this project. As you can see from this presentation this evening, that they've listened, and they've taken all input into consideration as they've worked through this project. And I know a lot of developers out there that would just kind of wipe their hands clean and say, we fall within the guidelines, but they did not do that. They listened to the community. I understand not everybody's happy with everything, and such is life. But as somebody that's woken up multiple times throughout the week at 2 o'clock in the morning from people trying to kind of sleep over here right next to me, and my camera goes off, I think we're tired in this neighborhood, especially of kind of the neglect on this side of the street. And I really welcome this project because I think it's going to be a great project. So this project has my full support as the direct abutter.
I have chat at chair.
Thanks, Chris. The next one we have is Thomas Osterling. Go ahead, Thomas. You have 1 minute.
Hello, this is Tom Osterling. Actually, I'm Chris's neighbor, so I just kind of wanted to also reinforce what he said. I'm at 220 West Springfield as well. I've been here since 93. And honestly, I was extremely skeptical of this building early on. And I feel like the developers managed to scale it back and make way more sense relative to the perspective of the rest of the street. And I'm extremely with the changes they've made.
I can't read these. Read them and for
hi. And so I just wanted to say, I also want to offer my support, and I also want to offer a caveat to our neighbors, because one of those trees that we're trying to save is almost horizontal, so I'm not sure that's going to work, but we should definitely try to save it as much as possible. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas. Greatly appreciated. Mike Rangers, you have 1 minute. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to review the commissioner's comments from their June 22nd meeting on standards and criteria. It's not about liking or disliking the building. It's following the standards and criteria. Behind me is pictured a background of Washington Street where it stepped down. Anyway, the comments John Freeman made at the meeting said, I think that, Amadeo said about a new building, whatever goes in its place would probably have to conform with more historic setbacks in the district. John Freeman responded, quote, I think it is a good general rule of thumb. When in doubt, what just we put it on not mute. With its historical model,
start.
Unquote. Catherine Hunt continued about the discussion on the height and said, quote, one would think that this is pretty clear. Have the same height and cornice line, unquote, in relationship to the neighboring buildings. John Amadeo said, quote, so if there's a roof line above the cornice line of an existing building, the adjacent new building being proposed needs to comply with the height and cornice line of the adjacent neighboring building. On massing, they talked about Washington Street, David Shepard, and John Amadeo said, historical precedent buildings originally there were used in determining the heights of those buildings. Washington Street is tall. The side streets are set on Compton Street to match the fabric of the side streets. My question is, why aren't the commissioners following it? Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll talk to.
Okay.
Can I?
Okay. Make here comments? They are.
Yeah.
Add something here. I'm sorry. I do want to point out, because I think it is important and relevant, that you have a letter of support from renowned architect James Alexander, who was a South Ender, another renowned architect, Fernando Dominic, who was also a South Ender, both of them for 34 years.
I was asking for the commissioner's feedback, not yours, David. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to give it to you. And both Jim and Fernando were two of the original authors of the South End Landmarks Commission guidelines. They helped create the South End Landmarks Commission at its inception. But two of the founders of the commission who wrote the guidelines are strong supporters of this design and believe that it does comply with the South End Landmarks Commission guidelines. Thank you.
Could I just jump in quickly, just very quickly? It's Jim. Is that all right? I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jim.
I have to get off. I do want to say I think this process has been extraordinary and it's really worked very well. And I think what we did with the guidelines was to give flexibility. There was not some slavish idea that everything's going to match everything else. The interpretation from the community, I think the support for this building, I live nearby, I'm very supportive. And I think what the team has done in responding to many of these comments is they've still made a building which is a decent piece of architecture. And we can hold our heads up and look at it and feel that the whole process of input has worked. And I think that's extraordinary. So I just congratulate the team and I wholeheartedly support the project. So. I'm sorry, I have to jump off. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. At this point, do any of the commissioners want to make any comments?
Come in.
I think we've addressed those questions at several of the subcommittee meetings.
Great. Thank you, John. Next, let's give this a second try here. Christopher Lowell, you have 1 minute. Go ahead.
All right, I apologize for the technology last time. Christopher Lowell on West Springfield Street, have lived there for the past 9 years, fully supportive of the project, specifically the changes that have been made over the past couple of weeks on the West Springfield side. I think it's a beautiful building and I welcome it to the community. Looking forward to it, thank you.
Thanks, Christopher. Next we have Ivanka. Ivanka, go ahead, you have 1 minute. Ivanka?
Hi, yes, we're here. So my wife Ivanka and I'm Dan Whalen. We're direct abutters. We live across the street on 223 West Springfield. And like our other abutters, we're in full support of this project. This is the first time I've been involved in watching a process like this. And I have to say, I commend both the commissioners as well as the developer in what they've gone through, because I think it's been a very extensive process. A very lengthy process, but I'm actually very impressed at the amount of comments and suggestions that developers have taken in order to try and make this work for everybody. So I know there's been some negative comments on the project, but I don't want the commissioners to think that there's not a number of people that don't support this here in the neighborhood. So I just want to say we're in full support of the project and would like to see it get started as soon as possible.
Thanks very much. Next we have Ned. Ned, go ahead, you have 1 minute. Ned? Ned.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, thank you. I've lived in Boston for 30 years. For 2 years, the Mural Advisory Committee has recommended demolishing the existing mural. Tonight we heard more about that. So I have two questions. One is, who has the Mural Advisory Committee's records now over the work they did the last 2 years? And second question, when will the Mural Advisory Committee records be filed with the Landmark Commissioners who relied on that guidance in taking their votes?
That's easy. That, that's not going to happen. The meetings were very informal. They were Zoom meetings. There were maybe up to a dozen of them. I don't think there were ever formal minutes taken. They evolved, and with a huge amount of input from Carolyn Parker and from David Lee. And we're actually really proud of what we've done. We think we're going to really display it in a way where it's much more public now than it has ever been. There will not be columns in front of it. It's going to be uplit at night. And we feel we're proud, and we think it's going to be a great contribution to the neighborhood.
David, if I can also add, because I failed to mention this in the presentation, but one of the things we're most excited about is being able to protect it from the elements, because right now, and we didn't show you all the photos that our photographer Andy took, but certain things have happened up against the surface of that mural that probably wouldn't be appropriate to mention in this setting. And so by having it indoors, protected, visible to all, not worried about snow or salt or sleet or some of those other incidentals, is another huge element that we can now be able to do.
I'm not disputing the plans for the mural. I'm only asking for the records of the committee be turned over to the commissioners, because they're using that to place their votes and make their decision.
I will add that the relocated mural is being put in the interior of the building, and for that reason, the commission does not have purview over it.
Thank you, Mary. Next, we have Leslie. Leslie, go ahead. You have 1 minute.
I'm at 221 West Springfield Street, directly across the street. I oppose the current design. I support the project. I support USIS. But the West Springfield side is way too high, and there is a lack of setback, and it does violate the standards of criteria by the commission. I'm very disappointed in the process. I was never notified of hearings, as abutters are supposed to be. And I think that the violation of the standards of criteria is a terrible precedent to set, particularly when we have an upcoming project proposed on Worcester Street, which will affect West Springfield Street again, as especially the other end near Tremont Street.
Thank you, Leslie. Frida Garcia, go ahead, you have 1 minute. Frida, I'm going to unmute you, okay? Go ahead, Frida. You're unmuted.
Frida?
Yeah.
I think they called you. Frida? I think they called you. I think they called you. I think they're waiting for you. You see my name? No.
Frida's a valued member of our arts community here, so we'll give her a couple seconds to come to the computer. Frida?
Yes.
Hey, go ahead. And do you have any comments about the project?
Yes, I've participated in all the public hearings, and I must say that the changes that have been made have greatly improved the project, and I strongly support it. And I'm Frida Garcia, the former director of United South End Settlements and a South End resident.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Frida. The next we have is F. Dominic, if I'm saying that right.
My God. Yes, this is Fernando Dominic. And as David Goldman said, I am a resident of the South End, B, a practicing architect in Boston, and C, was a member with Jamil Alexander of the group of people who put together the guidelines for the South End landmarks. I want to echo Jim's statements about how this building does truly fulfill the spirit of what we had in mind as we drew up those guidelines. I want to congratulate the team for a wonderful job. They've been extremely sympathetic to the site. They listen to the community. This building has a lot of very subtle details to it, and I think it's going to be a great asset to the community.
Thank you, sir. The next we have is iPhone. iPhone, if that's your real name, go ahead. You have 1 minute. No iPhone?
Hi, sorry, I think that's me. Sorry. My name is Alina Wolhart. I'm a South End resident for the last 8 years. We used to live on East Springfield Street and on Columbus, and now we're at Harrison Ave, but I strongly support this project. I thought the building, the design of the building before was really beautiful, but, you know, I think that architects and the developers did a great job incorporating the community's comments, and I think the building is even more beautiful, and I think it's going to be a great asset to enlighten and enliven this corner of Columbus. So I strongly support the project. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next we have Mike P. Mike P., you have 1 minute. Go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Mike Purdy. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. My name is Mike Purdy, and I live up the block on Wellington Street. I'm going to echo Connie and Mike's opinions about the process, but I'm not going to apologize for it. I think there's been an amazingly unequal application of oversight here. I've listened to hearings where commissioners have expressed concerns over resident owners' proposed spiral staircases or roof deck railings. They've demanded exact specifications of shingles for proposed cupolas. And while it's true most South Enders aren't without means, the encumbrances that Landmarks requires of us can pile up and add significant costs. But from a developer with much more resources, it seems much less is asked. In fact, it seems that their concern for the cost have driven this project through the process. While in subcommittee and even today, I don't believe one exterior fence, railing, door, or even ground service material has been reviewed, nor have any specifications been requested for even the faux slate on the mansard roof. I understand why some people want this project done, but my concern though is that the precedence is being set here, one that creates a set of different standards and criteria for residential homeowners and a different set of guidelines and interpretations for larger, wealthier interests. I find it especially disingenuous of the developer to claim that they want to help to preserve an institution, but leverage that preservation to get bureaucratic approval instead of just purchasing the lot outright, or when they feign surprise at pushback when they're expressly warned by BPDA during the application that Landmarks was gonna have issues with their design. And there have been some significant compromises made here. I do appreciate some of the changes that I've seen tonight. So perhaps the process has indeed worked, but my fear is that on the next big development the mayor's office wants here in the
5 seconds,
end,
Mike.
There's gonna be even less community involvement allowed, and ultimately the only ones left being held to this commission's standards are gonna be us regular people. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
May I just say one thing? Just so it's clear to the public, when a project is approved at this phase, that doesn't mean that the commission steps away from it. When a project is approved, any of the projects in the South End, there's continued involvement and continued review of all of the details, materials, and any other thing like that.
Sir, is all that public still, like in forms of hearings? Or how are we going to be ensured that this iteration that we saw tonight, that the progress is still going to be pointed towards the building that we saw tonight, even though it somewhat still violates standards, but as much as improvements have been made, are we going to make sure that the developer doesn't claw back any of what he said he's given up?
I'm not going to say about this project because it hasn't been approved yet. When a project is approved, there are subsequent public hearings. There are meetings with staff, and if necessary, there are subsequent subcommittee hearings. Any of the subcommittee or meetings with commissioners are all public meetings.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks. The next person that we have is Kim B. Kim B, go ahead, you have 1 minute.
Yes, hello. So I want to echo a concern that was raised earlier about the mural. Right now, it's been very unclear any kind of process for that. And I think actually by moving the mural inside, it is no longer public art. And I think that comment was confirmed by the chair's comment about now that it's in the interior, it's not in the purview. So I would 100% like clarity over whose realm is this in now? Because public art, as it relates to the Boston Arts Commission, is very different from private art that I've locked doors. The public interacts very differently with that. You know, it does sanitize the relationship to art in a way that I think is not understood by members who are making these decisions. So any clarity on that would be great.
Thank you, Kim. Any response? Okay.
You want me to say something? Generally, public art is not the purview of the South End Commission unless it's art or mural that's proposed on a historic building or proposed on the exterior of a building. So technically, this doesn't fall under our purview. We're very appreciative to see how it is being included in the project, though. So thank you for bringing us up to date and the public.
Thanks, John.
I'll just add to that. This building or the existing building, the commission approved the demolition of this building in 2019. So the time to comment on that mural was at the hearing to review the demolition.
Thanks, Mary. Next, we have Alexa. Alexa, go ahead.
Thank you. I'll keep it brief. I just want to thank everyone, the commission and the development team, for continuing to make improvements to this design. I should identify myself. I'm on the urban design staff with the Boston Planning and Development Agency. We have full design review over every piece of the building, so we review the construction drawings before a permit is issued. So I've been taking notes about everything the commission wants to see. And before I would sign off on anything, I would consult with Mary to make sure that everything that's in the construction drawings is supposed to be there, and that everything that's supposed to be there is there. I'm looking forward to hearing from the commission tonight. My understanding, and please staff or commissioners correct me if I'm wrong, that this project has received a conceptual approval. It's been reviewed in subcommittee, and the subcommittee has gotten it to this point and is asking the full commission to weigh in on some specific elements of the building, namely that piece on West Springfield Street, but that a good portion of this building, I think there was sort of a comfort level with, and please correct me if I've mischaracterized that. Anyway, I'll let you get to it, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks very much, Alexa. So I see no more hands raised, so I will go to the emailed comments that were sent to the boston.gov email address. So the first question is from Run Roxbury, and let's see here. So the mural, just talking about, describes specifically and plainly what this means. Is the original mural going to be preserved intact, or by preserving the images, do you mean taking photos of them before its destruction to be shown on a screen or slideshow in a new community space? That question has already been answered, so we don't need to spend any more time on that. And then let's see here. We have Jared Katsian, and his question was around the
name. My hand is raised.
Your turn will come, sir.
Thank you.
There's a question for the developing team as far as why the name Tubman Place was going to be identified. I don't know if that's still the case based on these renderings. David, can you confirm or expand on that?
We had a lot of people who reached out to us, and we've had people who really want to embrace the name, that name. Mm-hmm. And we've had people who feel that it wouldn't be appropriate here. So we are looking at ways of still incorporating the name, possibly by making it the Harriet Tubman Community Space, and then some other possibility for the building. But we're certainly open to suggestions. Nothing has been decided, nothing set in concrete. But we've heard both people who would like to see the name and people who don't want to see the name. And we're just trying to weigh all of that out and will obviously be working with the community as that moves forward and as that decision process evolves.
Thank you, David. So that is all the emails that I have. Gabby, are there any more emails that were received from the boston.gov email address?
Yeah, so I have a couple here. So I have an email from Tom Ortolano, and his email is, "Hello, my name is Tom Ortolano, and I've been a resident of the South End since 1997, first in Claremont Park, and now at 562 Massachusetts Ave/Chester Park for the past 15 years. In that time, I've seen many positive developments and transformations in the neighborhood, enhancing architectural appeal. I've seen the renderings of the project, in my opinion, look well thought out and attractive. I tried to join tonight's meeting, but it had conflicts." And then I have another email from a constituent named Lisa Brown, and she commented, "Why are the affordable housing units on the first two floors and not mixed throughout the building?" So I don't know if you want to.
Sure, that's an email. That's actually, there's a reason. Because when we did our community process and when we met with people throughout the community, we really heard about the need to create housing for artists. And there are a whole different set of requirements for artist housing. And one of them is easy accessibility in and out of the building so they can bring heavy equipment in and out of it into their artist space. And another one is so that they can actually have people, if they're showing their art to someone, it needs to be easily accessible. And so it really evolved out of the fact that we're trying to address that the demand of artist space and the artists being pushed out of the Piano Guild building, as well as a lot of the buildings on Harrison Ave. And that's why they are where they are.
Thank you, David. We appreciate that, even though it's not under the purview of the commission. The next comments,
I still have another.
Sorry, Gabby, go ahead.
No, that's okay. And I have the last email is from someone named David Stone, and he commented, "As a 24-year resident of the South End, most of it living a few blocks from this location, I write to express my strong support for 566 Columbus Avenue as proposed and described. It's a beautiful building that has gotten even better as the design has evolved in response to feedback from neighbors and the commission. The height and scale strikes me as entirely appropriate to this location in the handling of the facade on West Springfield Street, an effective accommodation of the interests of abutters and neighbors there." And that is the last email. And then there's one tweet that was submitted, but I think that he may have already spoken, but I can read it quickly, from David Manzo, saying that he's in favor of the proposed design for 566 Columbus Ave. "As a 40-plus-year resident of the South End, we are getting a smart, thoughtful addition to our neighborhood. Love the community space and affordable housing." And that's all.
Thank you, Gabby. I know there's someone else that wanted to have a comment in the participants today. Who's that? Sir, you interrupted me last comment. Do you have a comment now?
That was Juan.
Juan?
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Sorry that I interrupted you. I wasn't sure if you were seeing my hand or not. Good evening. My name is Juan Guillermo Uribe. I'm an architect and resident of the South End for almost 15 years. I am a strong supporter of UCs and a project at 566, simply just not one like this one. I am quite disappointed on the Historical Commission. I sincerely wish we had bold members as we do on Beacon Hill and Back Bay. Commissioners which enforce and abide to the historic guidelines and regulations of a historic district. Anything seems to fly here in the South End. You're setting a bad precedent for new developments. You're setting a bad precedent to preserve historic districts. Along with this, I will be losing valuable light in my unit. I live at 216 West Springfield. I am saddened to see experts approve such a project. Thank you.
I just do want to add one thing. Juan, I do think it might be relevant if you just shared your involvement with this project outside of our proposal.
How so, David? Share the project.
You were the architect on one of the competing teams that lost the bid for the site. And I think you're also selling your house and moving out of the South End.
Yes, and we may not do that, actually, because my wife is coming back from Nantucket, and we may not do that now. But anyhow.
I think this is all out of our purview.
Yeah, it's totally out of context.
Let's have that discussion later.
I'm happy to speak with you, David, in person, okay. And happy to invite you here to see how much light will be diminished by this monstrous project.
That's okay. Not our purview.
All right, I'm going to mute that comment. It doesn't look like there are any more public comments, John, so I'll hand the... ahead, Gabby. Sorry again.
No, that's okay. Just one more from someone named Brian Vies, and he said, hello, I just want to speak up and offer my support for this project and its current design. I've been impressed with this development and design team and hope that the commission will approve the project this evening. And then that's it.
Thank you, Gabby. Sorry for interrupting you 50 times. Thanks.
I have a bunch of emails to read too.
Okay, and before we do that, I do see that Wei has requested to be heard, so I'm going to give her 1 minute. Wei, go ahead. You have 1 minute, or not?
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, Wei, go ahead.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, I just want to mention I also sent an email regarding my concern on the height and mass of the building, but I didn't hear my email was read. So I just want to speak up again about that. I'm actually very surprised about the voice I heard today in this meeting, because based on the past few meetings I attended, majority of the voice was actually opposed the height and the mass of the building, but which is not the case today. I'm very surprised. I'm not sure whether there are anything happening back end, but I just want to point out my observation there. And I also want to point out I sent an email opposing the mass and height of the building. Thank you.
I'll just point out that we haven't gotten through all public comment yet.
Okay, so there are no more public comments, Mary, here. So if you wanted to go ahead and read your emails.
Okay, I have several to share. I will try to summarize these as best I can because a lot of them shared the same information. So I got letters in opposition to the project from Wei Gao, Dr. Hillary Malone, Bob Barney, Mike Reinders, Megan and Charles Ouellette, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, Julianne Landsvik, Tom Rizzo, Donna Godomsky, Alexa Chan, Rachel Dunnigan, RJ Tezzi, Kathleen and Jeff Ix, Bob Barney, who wrote a second letter, Anne Hirschfang, Carrie Erdman, Marie and Stephen Rice, William Hauser, Richard Barnell, Carolyn Lowell, Jill Christians, Jeremy Yethon, Melissa Lush, Leslie Kulig, Andrea Mitchell, Julianne Landsvik, who wrote a second letter, Donna Godomsky, who wrote a second letter, Kerry Nelson, Alexandra Kulig, Nick and Morgan Pisegna, Catherine Messner and Mike Bartlett, Edmund Ritchie, Mike Reinders, Michael Meisner, Christopher Grace, someone called Lee, there was no last name attached, and Scott Lush. Of those names that I read, most of those concerns were supportive of the project in general, but very much opposed to the height and setback on West Springfield Street. That was most frequently commented on throughout all of those letters. I received additional letters in opposition from Jared Cazziani, who opposes the demolition of the mural, Ned Flaherty, who opposes the destruction of the mural, Duchess Ward, who opposes the process taking place during COVID. And I will also add that Andrea Mitchell wrote in opposition to the sale of the building and the demolition of the building. I did receive a number of letters of support. Some of these individuals have spoken tonight. Frida Garcia, Deborah Backus, Carl Kreisnell, and David Stone, and Lee Steele. And that, I will also add that we received a petition from West Springfield Street residents, as well as some other residents in the South End, that namely cited the height and setback on West Springfield Street that received 237 signatures. So that is the summation of things that I have. So maybe we should get into commissioner comments.
Mary, I just want to comment. I know of at least two of the names of people who wrote letters that I believe are actually supporters. So I don't know about others, but I believe Chris Grace and Carolyn Lowell are supporters of the building. So
I think
I can confirm Carolyn Lowell is a supporter.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'll also add that Chris Dierbeck is a supporter as well. Sorry, I've been trying to type these up as we've gone.
And also Chris Grace, you mentioned Chris Grace, I believe he's a supporter. So
yes, he is a supporter as well, sorry.
He's been in the opposition.
And I just think it's worth reminding everyone that there's somewhere between 250 and 300 letters of support that have gone either to the BPDA and to the Landmarks Commission supporting the project.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John, the floor is yours.
Okay, so this closes the public comment portion of this hearing. I wanna thank everybody who spoke and everybody who attended. It should be very obvious to everyone who's been to any of these subcommittee and committee hearings that we take public comment very, very seriously, as obviously do the applicants. We can't do what everybody wants because it's all different. But thank you so much for coming. So now I'll take commissioner comment. Any commissioners who wish to comment, and then I'll ask to see if there's a motion. So commissioner comment. David, Diana, Catherine, is everybody still on? David's here.
This is David. Yep.
Is Catherine here?
Catherine's there, I see her.
Okay, and is Diana still with us? I wanna make sure we have a quorum.
She's there, I see her.
Okay.
Diana.
I'm sorry, somebody had muted me. I did not mute myself, so. Maybe that's a sign, I don't know.
okay, so Catherine, do you have, or whoever,
yes.
I just wanna make sure Diana is here and hearing us. Diana, can you just say hi?
It looks like she's speaking, but we don't hear her.
Is she muted or something?
She doesn't have the microphone thing, so I'm wondering if she—
Hold on, I'm trying to fix it now.
Yeah, that microphone thing had been muted by somebody else. Diana, is your phone muted? It looks like she's trying to call in again.
She is. Maybe there's a—
I asked her to unmute.
Did I keep
there
on pressing the button?
There you
there
are.
She is. There she is.
All right.
Okay. Great. So I want to make sure that all the commissioners who are here can hear the commissioner comments. So, thank you. So who David, did you want to comment first?
Sure. I basically will start by just saying that I still have concerns about the massing, the height, and the setback, which have been mentioned at many of the previous sessions. That said, I do like a lot of the things that were mentioned during this discussion. I like a lot of the things that the public have commented on that are in support of the project, and that includes everything from, you know, the different depths of along the front to make it feel like a series of row houses. I like that there's been a series of changes that have made it feel in many ways like more like a South End building. I do think that overall this could be a benefit to the community and to the neighborhood. That said, many of the things that we've discussed in past meetings still haven't really been adjusted to match the rules that are set out for the commission, in my mind. And this is all, many of them are open to interpretation, but the biggest that, you know, is obviously forefront in the public's mind, that is a concern, is the West Springfield component height. I think we did make some good headway in providing a little bit more of a setback and making it match to the adjacent bow front, but that wasn't enough. I do understand from our business meeting this past week that there is an appropriate time to have the building come all the way up to the sidewalk on a side street, but that building goes far too far along the side street and does not allow for the continuation of row houses along Springfield, in my mind. And the appropriate height that in, and to say that we have met the rules of the commission by saying that the lines that run along the street along the cornice and the windows and everything isn't enough to counteract the actual height of that building. I think overall, there are many things that if I was a more seasoned commissioner, I would have said along the process more definitively, the overall height of the project, the overall setback of the project on all sides. It strikes me like it's not really meeting the spirit of the rules, but to the letter in some cases, by saying that we're going up to 70 feet is, I think, a guideline and not meant to be a point where all new projects should maximize their height to the greatest extent. I also don't think that in past meetings that it's been mentioned a bookend was the goal of this project. I don't think a bookend means that you have an entire block at a 70 foot height. A bookend to me means that it's on the end of the building that it might be taller. There is not enough green space. I think it's unfortunate that there isn't more clear guidance in the rules, but I do pull from one of the other business meetings commentary and in saying that sometimes a previous building's height, a historic precedent of height of a building that was once on the site should be taken into account, and that's not been the case here. And I don't think that the remaining modern elements like the windows without any dividers are really appropriate for a Victorian era neighborhood. And I continue to not be in support of the overhang. But that said, or in one other comment about, I don't think that we've thoroughly discussed the MassHave portion of this project. I think there's been a lot of time put into the West Springfield side, and we haven't, we've been distracted by that. And so I think that there is a lot to support in this project, and I think that this, I think we have moved in the right direction, and I'm sorry that it's taking a long period to get to a project that we would all be happy with. But I could compromise on several of the items that I don't think are appropriate, but I cannot get to the point of compromise on all of them, particularly the height on Springfield.
Sorry, thank you, David. I appreciate that very much. Anybody else would like to comment?
Yes, I would say that in addition to all the subcommittee meetings, we've had two public business meetings. The most recent was Tuesday night, at which time we discussed the guidelines and standards and criteria. And I found those to be very helpful. The discussion helped me with some of the questions I had. And I have been reassured that that our understanding of the guidelines is correct and that the project is within them. And I feel confident in saying that what we discussed in the business meeting was helpful, especially to answer any questions that I had. I would also like to thank everybody who presented the project, and I felt that all of the materials were thorough and clear and very responsive to the issues we had brought up in the past. And I just thought the renderings, the plans, the materials were very good in conveying, especially the before and after imagery that was shown. And the checklist, it was very helpful. So thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. I just want to make clear, I know you know it, this project was not discussed in the business meeting. It was just the standards and criteria themselves, and we didn't talk about
that. Is correct.
Projects. Yeah, okay.
No.
Any other, Diana, or?
No, John, I'm fine.
Thank you, Diana. At this time, I want to thank the commissioners for hanging in there for yet another long meeting. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion. Yes. And that is to approve the project as submitted with the understanding that the applicant will provide details to the commission, as you mentioned previously, John, during DD, that's design development, and CDs, the contract documents phase, and also at 90% of CDs. Those are construction documents or contract documents for people not familiar with that abbreviation. All mock-ups to be produced by the team will be will include the commission, so that we can look at what's being presented in terms of material. And that's my home phone that I can't stop. One sec. Sorry. Okay. And also, I want to mention signage. That is something else that will be presented down the road a bit. There will be a master plan of signage for the building, and that happens at a later date, along with the review of materials and mock-ups.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, I'll now take a vote, and normally we would do a voice vote, but online, to make it clear, we're going to do a roll call vote. So I'll start, David Shepherd.
No.
Diana Parkin.
Yes.
Catherine Hunt?
Yes.
And the acting chair votes with the motion. So Mary, I think we have a 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
So do we need to wrap up here? I think you.
You have to make a motion on the sidewalk modifications.
Oh, okay. I hear a motion on the sidewalk modifications?
I'll move to accept that application as presented. Yeah.
Do I hear a second?
Diana did say.
Did she? Do we have a second?
What did you say?
There's a motion on the sidewalk modifications to approve them. And I'm asking for just a second. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. I'll take a roll call vote. David Shepherd, I'm sorry to pick on you, David, but you. So.
Okay. I vote no.
Diana Parkin?
Yes.
Catherine Hunt?
Yes.
And the acting chair votes with the motion. Thank you. So. Guys, I think you know, David, and you've been here before, that this starts just the next phase of the process, that we review details, we review materials, we review everything that may change, and that you have a duty to come back to the commission. Also, you noted that in the motion, which you'll get in writing, that the commission is included in all mock-ups, and I think Catherine described for the public that mock-ups include materials and details, and that the, Catherine, did you say also roof visibility was part of our, part of the motion?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's amend that roof units should not be visible from a public way.
How can we do that, Mary? Can we amend a motion after the fact? It's been stated in the meetings that the owner has said, I mean, the applicant has said that they won't be visible. Do we have to amend the motion, or how does that work?
Nick, do you know?
If I can offer a suggestion, part of Catherine's motion was to approve as submitted, and part of our submission tonight was to eliminate the head houses.
Excellent. Thank you, Jonathan. So we will interpret that to mean that nothing up there is going to be visible. So I think that's it. And
Mary will integrate that into the approval letter so that it's in writing.
Okay. Thanks, Nick.
If I can just say one thing, which is on behalf of the team, our deep gratitude to the commissioners. This has been a journey, but I think in truth, this building we feel has been a team effort, and you guys have designed it as much as we have, and I mean that in the most collaborative sense, that what we came in with certainly is not where we ended up, but and we still have some way to go, as Commissioner Freeman said. Deeply grateful for the comments, the feedback, and the diligence and just hard work in working with us, so we appreciate that.
Thank you.
I just want to echo what Jonathan said and just tell you how much we appreciate all the time and the work that you put in. And I want to assure you, you didn't even have to tell us to involve you in the mock-ups. We would do that automatically. I'm too old. I've been around too long, and I would
thank you.
Understand the process, and we'll honor it as always.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So do we have any other agenda items? Mary?
Nope. It was just those two applications.
Okay. So I'll hear a motion to close the meeting.
I move to adjourn.
Adjourn. Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, hearing none, the meeting is closed, and I want to thank everybody for attending and taking time out of your day. It's we all have important things to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. See you the next time.
Thanks.